certainly appreciate this subject matter this morning. You know, it's very peculiar or special to me this morning that Elder Herring would bring this text forth. And because I had a man this week on the phone, he's of another order of people. Matter of fact, with the order of people that I was raised with, I have connections with him from other ways than that, but I've known him for quite a while. He's a middle-aged man. And the subject matter got off on toward the times that we're living in and some of the things that are going on today and so forth. And all of a sudden, he makes the statement, and when he's talking about he believed the Lord must soon be coming and so forth, but he says, you know, I think maybe he's really late. He actually said that. And so I kindly circled back around to it, and in the kindest way that I could, I, you know, kindly reinforced a little bit and told him, you know, the Lord's in control, the Lord is sovereign, and the Lord's never been late for anything. He's always just on time. And I declare, if he did not double down on it in saying that he thought that the Lord was late. And I just plain out told him, I assured him, I said, listen, I assure you the Lord is not late. The Lord has never been late, and the Lord never will be late. And the Lord was not late. The Lord was not early when he sent his Son into this world to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the mercy seat. Amen. Amen. For our sins, to make that atonement, to bring about redemption, that we have not been redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful this morning? Amen. And my heart rejoices in that, and I greatly appreciate that. And that is certainly cardinal and fundamental and foundational to the faith of the gospel. We've endeavored the last two Sundays to try to preach upon those different scriptures concerning faith and try to take the context of the faith that is under consideration. You know, I see more and more concerning gospel faith from the scripture, the truth as it is in Christ, the body of truth, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And of course, here in this verse 6, and we're going to move on. I'm not going to re-preach this discourse, but I just wanted to make those observations. And I would say here in verse 6 that in the strictest of the context of it, when he says, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I believe that in the context, this is the Spirit that is crying, Abba, Father. It is not necessarily the individual crying out with their audible voice or far from their mind, even without an audible voice. So it's the Spirit that is crying out, Abba, Father. The individual at that time would have fruit of the Spirit faith on a very small level from that standpoint of fruit of manifestation, but yet they don't have any, may not have any gospel faith, the faith of the gospel, as we understand the scriptures to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. In other words, a person's head and heart may not be together. Just remember it from that standpoint. Their heart and their head may not be in agreement. You know, the heart, that new creature that's created in an individual, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We know that takes place when one is born of the Spirit of God, and he has that new nature within, but yet without knowledge, without the understanding, without the word of faith, the word, the gospel of faith, Oh, how important that is. I want to turn to a verse of scripture that's found in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. When the apostle says this, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, of course, this word conversation here, it includes speech and communication, but it is not restricted to, nor does it only mean or imply just speech or communication, but it also goes beyond that to your walk and conduct. And so we only can have and manifest a life of discipleship if we have knowledge. We have brought this out in these last couple of discourses, how important a part that knowledge plays in the manifestation far as of your fruit of the Spirit, faith, latching hold of the faith, gospel faith, the body of truth, how important that is. So the apostle tells them, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let your conduct, your speech, your communication, your walk, your life of discipleship, that it becometh, or that it adorns, that it beautifies, amen, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says that whether I come and see you or else be absent. Now, the apostle has this on his mind, and he's saying along the same lines when he was talking to them in the same epistle about them obeying in his absence as they had in his presence, and that they work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So that connects with that, whether I come and see you or else be absent. In other words, you walk and you talk and you beautify the gospel, the faith of the gospel. He's going to say that here in just a moment. In my absence, just like you would in my presence. You walk and talk outside of the walls of this building just like you would here inside the walls of this building. Just as you would around other disciples, other church members, and so forth. If you're in other places, on the job or at school or whatever the secular activity might be, that you would adorn the doctrine, that you would adorn the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, that you would beautify it. Whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that I may hear of your carryings on, that I may hear of your conducting here in this life, that I would hear that you conduct fair and honest business, that you do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, that you keep the commandments of the Lord, that you observe to do those things that would be pleasing to the Lord. I want to hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's a long verse, but right here at the end, he says that you stand fast in one spirit. He's talking to the church at Philippi, for this body of people to stand fast in one spirit. And this is not talking about the Holy Spirit of God. We certainly have to have the endowment and endowment of that power for service. but that you stand fast in one spirit. In other words, the spirit of the congregation. The spirit of the congregation be unified. All of our spirits be unified together as one spirit, as one mind, striving to do what? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now here it is, plain and simple. I've been using this expression, but here it is in the scripture. Amen. Faith of the gospel. Amen. Gospel faith. Amen. The truth, the body of truth, that which we hold to, that which we are to be steadfast in, that which we are to observe. In the 16th verse of the next chapter here, chapter 2 and verse 16, he says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He's telling them again, he's coming back around, he's giving them many exhortations, he's giving them many admonitions. You can read all of these between chapter 1 verse 27 and here in chapter 2 and verse 16. He's given many admonitions and exhortations, but he tells them to hold forth the word of life. Now, the word of life, hold forth the word of life. In what sense? In what sense does this mean? What word of life is under consideration? Holding forth the word of life. This word of life is the faith of the gospel. Amen. This word of life is our faith. Amen. Our doctrinal faith. Our gospel faith. He's telling them to hold forth to it, to set it forth before you, to esteem it, to love it, to prize it, to cherish it, to cherish the teaching of the scriptures. Amen. We believe the scriptures. We believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, that they are the Word of God, and that they are our only rule of faith. There it is. That they are our only rule of faith. This is talking about the rule of faith. This is not, in our expression, it's not talking about fruit of the Spirit faith. It's talking about gospel faith, gospel belief. Amen. The body of truth. That we believe these scriptures, that they are the Word of God and our only rule of faith. Only rule of belief. We believe that they're the gospel. We believe that they are the inspired word of God. And they're our rule. They are the standard. They are the measuring rod. They are the plumb line, if you please. They're that which we measure by, which we gauge by, and which we engage, amen, by, which we conduct the affairs of our life by, we have our conversation steadfastly and firmly founded upon our walk, our talk, our communication, our conduct as we live, that it would become as beautifying of the very faith and the very doctrine that we hold forth the word of life. Amen. This, the scriptures of the teaching of Christ. Amen. They are the word of life. They're not the word of life in the sense to get us to have eternal life, or to get to that heavenly life, in heaven immortal glory. But it's the words of this life. Amen. As we live here, that we hold forth the word of life, our rule of faith, our rule of conduct, our rule of practice. I said to another elder this week, upon a situation and conversation, I said to him, I would to God that Primitive Baptist would just do what the scripture says do in every circumstance and situation. And if we did that, it would save us from a lot of problems and a lot of heartaches and a lot of troubles. Just do what the Bible says do, and you'll save yourself.
Amen.
Amen. You'll save yourself.
Amen.
I believe that. I fully believe it. I believe that that would be in harmony. While we're so close, and on the thought I just had, we need to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, but let me catch you. Galatians 2 and 20, we talked about this 3 weeks ago, but I'll just reinsert it right here. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life. Now, there it is. It helps interpret the word of this life. Amen. The word of life. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. I live by the faith that Jesus preached, the faith that he gave the apostles. Amen. I'm going about to, amen, the gospel of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, the body of faith. Amen. Paul once destroyed the faith. He then preached the faith. And now he says, I live by the faith. You've heard me say it over and over. He lived what he preached. He preached what he lived. He preached what he wrote, and he wrote what he preached. It's all entangled. It's all involved. You don't separate it out. You don't have 9 lives. Amen. You've got 1 life. Now, there may be different aspects to your life. But all of our life is to be under the supervision. Some folks divide their life out into groups and segments and seems like try to excuse or to legitimize conduct or speech in one area versus another that they wouldn't do in this part of their life or around this group of folks or whatever. But our life is our life. Every aspect of it is to be governed by the rule of our faith, which is God's precious word. And so there's a salvation if we keep that in memory, if we keep that set forth before us, if we hold fast unto that, as the apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. This is not fruit of the Spirit, believing under consideration here, but it's them believing in the faith, believing in the gospel, believing in the body of truth, believing in the teaching and the preaching that the apostle Paul had given unto them. And he says, you're saved, you're kept, you're continuously delivered here in this life through a way of obedience by the wonderful grace and mercy of God, that if you'll keep in memory, if you'll keep it before you, if you will acknowledge what the Lord teaches us in inspired scripture, he says, what I have preached to you, you keep in memory what I preached unto you, you obey what I preached unto you, you hold forth what I've preached unto you. You esteem what I've preached unto you. You treasure what I've preached unto you. You hold it near and dear unto you. And you live your life by it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You live your life by it. What I've preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain.
Yeah.
Oh, unless you've believed this faith, this doctrine of Christ, this life of discipleship, or that you've believed it in vain, or if you don't continue on, if you don't press on in it. But I'm thankful though, amen, that the work of God in his elect people is never in vain. And Paul goes on and he uses that and talks about far as the resurrection. If there wasn't a resurrection of the dead, Christ is not risen. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. He said, what is the use of us preaching? Why would we be preaching? Why would I be going? I endure all things, he says, for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain. Oh, there's a deliverance. There's an also. There's something also beside. Thank God. There is that great and wonderful deliverance there besides eternal redemption, besides that work that Christ has done for as a temporal deliverance. And that's why the apostle was preaching it, going forth in and among God's people and risking life and limb and to travel about and to preach the gospel. He wasn't going about to populate heaven in immortal glory, but he was going about suffering the things that he suffered for the sake of the gospel, for the benefit, amen, of God's people. He said in 2 Timothy, there in that second chapter, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. We're to follow after. Oh, I tell you, if we follow after the Lord and after the way of the Lord, then I believe that we will have the smile. We will have the favor of God. We'll have the fellowship of the Lord. And we can say with, because we'll have that manifested presence, we can say with David of old, when he said in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I got to thinking about that a little bit this week, about goodness and mercy shall follow me, and the thought came to mind. You know, I've seen just a small little puppy before, and it be attached to a little child, and that little child to go about and from place to place. And I've seen that little puppy was just on their heels, just following them everywhere they went. That little puppy was just following them, right on them. And I pictured that in my mind. I said, yes, when we follow the Lord in a way of discipleship, we can have the heartfelt and manifested presence of the Lord, and goodness and mercy will be on our heels, and we'll realize it. We'll feel and understand that goodness and that mercy of the Lord, and how good that the Lord is, and that mercy, that goodness of the Lord will continuously then to lead us in a way of repentance, and always turning back to the Lord and seeking Him and seeking His very face. Also there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, he said, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love. So here we are. The apostle is telling Timothy, and he is telling every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you hold fast the form of sound words. The form, what does this word form here mean? It has to do with knowledge and behavior. Hold fast the form in knowledge and in behavior based upon that knowledge of sound words. Thank God this morning that we are different. It's different degrees that we're down the road of discipleship, different ones and so forth. But thank God there's that we have some knowledge, that we have some understanding, that we have this that would affect our behavior. You know, I remember hearing Elder Lord Ray laboring, Lord, years ago, make the statement about him joining the church as a boy, and how that his joining the church as a boy and coming on and coming up among the brethren and being around them and so forth as he got older and went into teenage years and so forth and into young adulthood, how that experience and already being a member of the church, how that it affected his behavior, because he would think and say, how can I do such? How can I go this direction or that direction? I think about Joseph of old, with the knowledge and understanding relationship that he had with the Lord. And when Potiphar's wife pressed upon him from time to time to commit adultery and so forth, that he said, how can I commit this sin against God? Amen. And Brother Rayburn would say, and that wasn't necessarily the sin that he had under consideration, but he was just talking about in his life and in his dedication and so forth, that it caused him to think, how can I stray? How can I not go to church? How can I not do what I ought to do and stay away from where I ought to stay away from? Those old brethren, they have such confidence, and they took me under their wings. And it was a protection to him in the safety of the church and in the safety around God's people. Oh, how important that is. It was important. And in his latter years, he testified to that fact. I'm thankful to have been raised up with the morals with forming the habitual habit and conversation around God's word and spiritual things. My parents teaching me to shun the pitfalls and the downfalls and things of this world and this world system. It is a safety net. It is a safeguard. And so it is that if we hold fast the form, the knowledge, the behavior of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. I tell you, the Apostle Paul, he writes much about the faith of the gospel. Jesus' ministry, it was much when he dealt with faith. It had to do with fruit of the Spirit, faith. So much that Jesus, when he used faith and all, but in the writing of the apostles, in which the Apostle Paul, he writes most of the gospel, the first, the letters, the epistles, and so forth, his mindset seems like, is toward that faith, that body of truth, that way of discipleship, that teaching, and of sound words, and of beautifying, and of adorning the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe it was from the standpoint also of his great emphasis upon preaching, and of his writing, of course, inspired by God, but also he preached the faith that he once destroyed. He built it up. He saw the necessity. He saw them old saints steadfast in the faith and would not deny the faith, would not deny the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, even under a great persecution, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Just turn a page over to chapter 4 and verse 3 there in 2 Timothy. And of course we know Paul, the apostle, he warns Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time will come, what is he saying? When they won't endure the sound faith. Amen. They won't endure the primitive faith. They won't endure the original faith? But they will. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Oh Lord, help us not to depart from the faith. Amen. Not to depart from it. Not to err from it. Not to stray. Amen. From it. But hold it forth. Esteem it. Love it. Apprise it. Amen. You know, to cherish it. To hold it firm. To hold it steadfast. That's why in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Hold fast. Hold on to it. Hold on to it for dear life. Amen. Not for your natural life, but for the life. And of course, it's in your natural life. It's in your flesh. For your daily walk, that you live by the faith of the Son of God. That's what Paul was saying. So let us hold on to it. Amen. For our life of discipleship, that even as Paul had in his mind, how that he would submit to it, how that he would rein his members in under subjection, unless when he had preached to others that he himself should be a castaway, that he would be of no use, that he would be of no benefit in the kingdom of God and in the service of the Lord. For folks, if he shipwrecked, folks wouldn't have confidence in him. Amen. And you know what? That's the way it is. We can shipwreck to such a degree in this life, that we could cause our brothers and sisters to lose all confidence and trust in our faith and in us. God help us. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You know, when the scripture talks about that professed a good profession before many witnesses, the things that you have heard, the things which you have seen. And the Apostle Paul tells Timothy about holding fast to that, and that gift of God that was given even unto him. He said there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He told him in verse 8, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. There's suffering and there's afflictions and there's troubles that will beset us in this Antichrist world system that is against God and against his Christ. If we hold fast the faith, and if we won't compromise it, if we won't back down from it, there is suffering, even rejection. It's always been down through these last 2,000 years that God's disciples have been ridiculed and persecuted and so forth because of holding on to the faith. Holding on to the faith. God bless you this morning. It's my prayer. I trust that we will ever hold fast to hold firm the faith. That faith once delivered unto the saints.
Amen.
We'll select a song. God is good. God is good.
Amen.
God is good all the time.